Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read two verses this morning. In Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 and 5 together. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word. As we read the word of God together this morning, Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the great gift of eternal life that you've given us by giving us your Son. Thank you for this time of the year that we get to sing, we get to hear preaching, we get to just spend a season reflecting on what you did for us. Now bless us today for being here. Work in our hearts. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to have a better Christmas season. God, to accomplish that, now our pastor's going to need your Holy Spirit power. Fill him and use him this morning, we ask. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. As you're being seated this morning, I'll ask you now to sit very still and listen carefully. Ask you if you have a cell phone, that you turn it to off or turn it so it doesn't make noise during the service. We would appreciate that very much. I know you want to share your Christmas carols with us that you have on your cell phone. That would help us if you would not do that. If your cell phone does go off during the service, you will be run over by Santa and the reindeer in the parking lot. And so please be advised of that today. Help us there this morning. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. But when the fullness of the time was come, listen, that means God worked out a plan whereby his purpose of sending his Son Jesus into this world came about exactly on time. You see, there's a biblical, there's a prophetic timeline in the book of Daniel chapter 9 that foretold hundreds of years before Christ would come, that foretold when Jesus would be born. And it was given an exact time frame. That's why the wise men came from the east. They came from the area of Babylon, and they were the men who studied, and they searched it out, and they saw in the prophecies of Daniel the timeline. They followed the prophecies of mankind, the timeline of mankind, and they found, they said, you know what? We're living in the time where Messiah would be born. And that's why they came from the east saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something this morning. It's a very simple message with a very simple but important application for you and for me today. It's about this thing about God's timing. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Sometimes I think we have this idea in mind that everything that happens in our lives and happens around us just happens. I mean, you're just there and it just happens. And that we're sort of just sort of going along in life, occupying days, living hours, living out our weeks and our months. And that somehow or another, I think we get in our minds that there's no great divine design or purpose to what goes on. Christmas time reminds us from Galatians 4:4 that when the time was right and the Word of God had said it would be so, God sent forth his Son. He said, it's time. Now. And in the Bible, we understand that Jesus was born of a virgin. Something that had never happened before, that has never happened since. A miraculous event that altered human history, marked our calendars. Probably the most important birthday on the history of this planet, with the exception of September the 12th. Probably the most important birthday on the history of this planet, recognized and remembered. And we know that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a worldwide recognition that Christ came into this world, and that's what's important. But listen now, it was all according to God's timetable. And when this is what the Bible says, when the fullness of the time was come, everything came together exactly like God had designed it. And when the time was right, God said yes. And Christ was born of a virgin. By miraculous implanting of the virgin seed in Christ, in Mary's womb, Jesus was placed there. Not by natural process, by supernatural process. Not because Joseph was his father, or as liberals believed that Mary was an immoral woman who slept with Roman soldiers and Jesus was an illegitimate son. No, he was the virgin-born Son of God, miraculously planted in the womb of Mary. And that which has never taken place in the history of mankind took place that day, but in the fullness of time, when the time was just right, when Christ would be born and 33 years would pass. And then he would go to the cross at exactly the right time. And he would die on the cross at exactly the right moment. At the day of the high feast, at the high Passover, Jesus would give himself on the cross at exactly the right time, at exactly the right place in history, at exactly the right moment. He would die and be buried. And 3 days later, Jesus would rise from the dead and ascend back to heaven. And when the fullness of the time was come, God said, this is it. This is the moment. Christ will go now. Christmas reminds us about this great lesson of the timing of God. Probably the most difficult thing for us to understand and to live by is the timing of God in our lives. God's time. I'm not talking about the minutes and the hours. I'm talking about the fact that there is a Heavenly Father, ladies and gentlemen, who sits on the throne of heaven, the wise, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, almighty God who sits on the throne of heaven and has a time frame for what takes place. And Christmas reminds us that in the fullness of the time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. Can I talk to you this morning about this thing about God's timing now? And realize this, first of all, there is a time for the working of God. There's a time to God's working, how He does things. God is working to bring mankind to Himself. That's why Christ came. See, look in Galatians 4 again. We read in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5, for this reason, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent us a redeemer. He sent us a Savior. See, if our greatest need was education, He would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was in law enforcement, He'd have sent us a policeman. If our greatest need, ladies and gentlemen, was understanding, He'd have sent us a philosopher. If our greatest need was medical treatment, then He would send us a doctor. Our greatest need must be a Savior, because that's what He sent us. He sent us a Savior. His name Jesus means salvation. Christ came to die for us on the cross to give us salvation. He didn't come to show us a better way to live. That secondary, primary purpose was Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to be your Savior. He came for the reason of redeeming us that are under the law. Now we understand in Galatians, in the context of the passage, it's talking about the nation of Israel, how they were under the curse of the law, it would say later on. And this curse was that there was a standard set, the Ten Commandments, literally the first five books of the Old Testament. They were under the requirements and the restrictions of the law, all the do's and the don'ts and the can'ts nots. They had a list of things. My soul, God had put a list of standard up before Israel. But not to show them how to live to get to heaven, to show them they couldn't live up to the perfect standard of God. The law was never intended for us to go to church on Saturday. The law was never intended for us to follow the laws and requirements. The law was intended to show us that we couldn't get to heaven on our own goodness. But it put a pressure on, it puts a standard before us. Jesus came to redeem us from underneath the curse of this law. The nation of Israel, and anybody else who says, well, I just try to do good. Sorry, friend, good is not good enough. You have to live perfectly in order to go to heaven. I take this survey every year on this point. Let me check it this morning. How many of you would say today, by the uplifted hand, from the moment of your birth till right this second, you have lived a perfect life have never sinned one time, would you put your lying fat hand up in the air? Now, usually we get one or two, but that's because, you know, they're on medication. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, no one has and no one ever will. Because the law is not to show us how to live. It is a standard of moral conduct. But it is to show us that we're sinners, we need a Savior. God sent His Son, and He's been working to bring us to Himself. Now listen, that's not just about Christmas and Christ's birth. That's why Jesus came, was to provide for us a Savior. Not to be born, but to go to the cross and die. And on that cross, take the sin and punishment and penalty of God's righteous wrath of judgment and put it upon Jesus Christ, and He would die bearing that sin. But then He would rise again 3 days later. And the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's greatest gift to mankind. The Bible calls it an unspeakable gift. For salvation for you and me today, we must receive the gift of God that is eternal life. Gift. Not by works, not by payment, not by anything you do, but by simple faith in the promise God gave that if you would trust Jesus Christ as Savior, He would give you salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that God has now for these many centuries, even before the birth of Christ and after the birth of Christ and up to this very day today, that God has been working a timetable to bring mankind to Himself? Does that mean everyone will be saved? No, unfortunately not. But it won't be because God didn't try. It won't be because God didn't work a plan. It won't be because God's working didn't take place. After Jesus rose from the dead, He ascended back to heaven. And what did He do? He assembled His disciples and gave them a great commission to go into all the world and dig wells and build hospitals and get involved in man's associations and programs to try and help mankind have a better life. No, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, giving us a command to go. Then what did He do? He completed the writing of His word so we'd have the message to preach that He would give us. He left us the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit to come and live in our bodies to enable us with this message of the gospel, to take it to the world so sinners would be convicted and drawn to God so they might be saved. God's been working, ladies and gentlemen, on a timetable. But right now, you and I are on the very cusp of the completion of the working of God in this plan of salvation. Because you see, somewhere very soon, Jesus Christ is going to return. The trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. That's why I think it comes on Sunday morning. People sitting in the pew going, Danny the Diver and Billy the Bob, you know, Jesus Christ is going to come back. Dead in Christ, rise first. Yes, Methodists go to heaven. Dead in Christ, rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up together. But when that happens, boom, the door of the church age closes and the way of salvation is still the same, but there will be a difference in how the working of God takes place so people could be saved. See, we think, well, we've just got all the time in the world. No, when the fullness of the time was come, Jesus came into this world, and the working of God changed after that. So it is today. See, friend, look at me. That stuff you go through in your life that, boom, gives you a spiritual kick in the seat of the britches, that reminds you, you know, I need to get something taken care of in my life. That's the working of God. That's on a timetable. Oh, God can't pay that much attention to each and every individual person. I'm sorry you got a puny God today. I'm sorry you've got a limited God who can only see a mass of 6.4 billion people on this planet in one great number of people. I'm sorry your God's that way. But the God of the Bible says, numbers the hairs of our head, notes the sparrow when it falls, notes the lilies of the field, and God knows you, friend. And you know something? There is a time frame to God's working in your life to get you to come to Himself today. So that's why you see, look at me. That's why there's no accident, the fact you're in church this morning and that you're hearing this message. That's no accident. That's no accident someone came up to you and handed you a tract and gave you the gospel. That's no accident that someone has witnessed to you and talked to you about salvation. There's no accident to that. My dear friend, hear me carefully this morning. That's the working of the timing of God in your life to bring you to salvation. Now, you need to straighten that out today. Well, I'll think on it this Sunday, and I've heard it before, and I'll try it again. Don't mess with God's timing. God is a patient, loving, wonderful God. Yes? Yes. But he's also a God who draws a line, and when you cross that line, that's it with him. When the fullness of the time was come, people knew about it, heard about it, knew Christ was coming. But when the time was right, God says, my working is completed now, and he brought forth his son Jesus. God's working in our life will not always be on our time frame, but it will most definitely be in his. Also, my Christian friend, can I encourage you with something this morning? God is in the business not only of bringing us to himself, he's in the business of working out this business of making a Christian like Jesus. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And God is in the heavenly potter business today, ladies and gentlemen, to take old lumpy clay like us and mold us and shape us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that working sometimes adds pressure to us and sometimes takes things out of our lives and continues to work to make us a vessel unto honor, the Bible says. But there's a time frame for this working. How much longer are you, my dear friend, this morning, as a child of God, going to go on the principle of, well, one of these days I'm going to get around to the serious life of the Christian? No. While God's working, you better respond to that working and let God work on you. Yield and submit to the working of God in your life. But when the fullness of the time was come also teaches us that there's not only a time to God's working, there's a time to God's plan. God has a plan. And that plan was to bring Christ into this world. Satan opposed it. Started back in the Garden of Eden. Tried to interfere with the first man and the first woman. Tried to interrupt their first family. Caused the first brother to kill his brother. Ever since then, that's the way it's been. Brothers wanting to kill each other. It's been going on for centuries. But he tried to interfere with that. He tried to bring in and taint the race of mankind in Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God intermarried with the daughters of men created an unusual and an unholy race. And God had to wipe it out in the flood and start all over again. Satan has been working for centuries to interfere with the timing of the plan of God. But when that pure young lady, Mary, yielded herself to the working of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit miraculously implanted in her womb the seed of Christ, the plan of God began. The plan of God culminated after centuries of interference by the devil, but God still won, didn't he? And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. But that's okay. Christ had come. The Bible didn't say Jesus would be born in a palace. It just said he would come. And he was, and he did. And the timing of God's plan took place, just like God said. Then Satan would come and interfere with Christ's life and ministry. Tempt him after he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but Jesus would resist the temptation. He would try to get Christ to fall into sin, but Jesus never did. I'm sorry, Martin Scorsese, and I'm sorry, movie Hollywood people. I'm sorry, but Jesus was not like us. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Because the plan of God was a perfect Son of God and Savior. And that's what Jesus did. The timing of God's plan was perfect. Jesus went to the cross sinlessly, without one sin on his record or account. They had to hire people to lie about him, and even they couldn't agree with what they said, later on forming Congress. The truth of the matter is, truth of the matter is that plan of God came forth. It happened just the way God planned it in his timing. In his timing, God has a plan. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. God had a plan for Christ's coming, and the plan succeeded. God had a plan for the cross, the empty tomb, a risen Savior. God has a plan for a returning Savior too, by the way. Exactly as God said, born of a virgin, all the prophecies, promises kept and fulfilled. Let's keep that in mind when it comes to our lives today. Look here. God has a plan for your life, my friend. Yes, he does. It's called God's will. He designed a plan for you. Look here. And there is a timing to that plan. Well, as long as I get around to something somewhere down the road, Pastor Johnson. No. Look here. It's December the 14th. We have what, 17 days counting today? We have 17 days left in 2008. And we start a new year. This year didn't just go by quickly. It was a blur. Just a blur. Gone. Now, not for those who sit in front of the television 8 to 10 hours a day or play video games till their thumbs are bigger than their neck. But other than that, I mean, people with a life, the truth of the matter is this year was a blur. It just went by so quickly. Time is passing, and the Bible calls it hasting unto the coming of the Lord. Hasting means hurrying up to get there. And that's what I believe is happening. I don't know. It's time. Seconds are still seconds. Minutes are still minutes. Hours are still hours. Days are still days. Weeks are still weeks. Months, months. Years are still years. But something's happening, and how fast time is getting by us. Now, here's what it means. See, this plan that God has for your life, this will of God He has for your life, the fullness of the time has come. The plan is being worked out. Now, can I ask you a question? Are you in on the plan? Are you right in the very center of the will of God for your life this morning? Well, how in the world do you know that, Pastor Johnson? If you do what the Bible says, you're in God's will. What parts of our lives that are not submitted and subversive to the Word of God, what parts of our lives that are not lined up with the Bible keep us out of the will of God, and you're messing with the plan of God. God has a plan. Years ago, I was preaching up in Oregon on a Saturday at a youth function. It was the winter time, and we were watching the weather and everything else. And they predicted some possible problems with the weather, and I kept talking to the preacher there, and I said, you know, I can't get stuck there on Saturday. I've got to get back home. And he says, well, I think it'll be all right. He says, do you have change for your car? I said, no, I live in California. I don't have any change. And I said, I can borrow some, I guess, or whatever. And he goes, well, why don't you bring him, and we'll see. We'll pray the weather will be good. I don't ever trust a preacher when he says that. But I did. We preached there Saturday afternoon, got finished, started driving back from Ashland area, Talent, Oregon, actually. Driving back, you have to pass a couple pretty good mountain passes to get back home. First mountain pass, it was snowing like you can't believe. Now, I hate the snow. I don't want to play in the snow. People who want to play in the snow need to be slapped with a snow shovel. I don't want to play in the snow. I don't want to walk in the snow. I don't want to mess around with the snow. I don't even put fake snow on my tree. How wicked is that? That's so nasty. That stinking cheap spray can junk on the tree or the windows. Ah, I don't want that either. Again, I don't mind seeing it out there on the mountains. I don't want it in my front yard. I don't want to walk in it. I don't want to play in it. Now I got to get out and chain up the car. Now the guy gave me some really nice hoop chains. You just slip them over clip, drive right off. I mean, they were very nice. But I had to get out in the snow to do that. Not once. Not twice. Four times that day. That little hour, 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive that should have taken me from there took about 8.5, 9 hours. I'm chaining up, driving through the snow, stop when you get on the road, take the chains off, drive, get out, put the chains on, stop, take the chains off, all this kind of stuff. And my wife's being very diligent and holding, you know, sitting in the car while I'm doing all this. Good pioneer women would have got out there and put the chains on for the husband, so I didn't hurt myself. But I was a good husband and I did my job. But boy, did I gripe about it. My hands were cold. I was cold. I said, this is why I hate the stinking snow. Now I get... Be quiet, Sniffles. So I get over here to one of the passes just outside of Reading here. Come around the corner and the reflection off the car lights from the road ahead of me, I could see the black ice. So I slowed down, turned the corner. And lo and behold, there was one of the worst wrecks I have ever seen in my life. A semi-truck had hit another semi-truck head-on at apparently such a good enough speed they were going that there was wreckage, burning wreckage all across the highway. The highway patrol was not even there yet. We pulled up, and they were in there trying to find any survivors in this wreckage. You could just see red, pulpy stuff inside the cab of that truck. Those two of those truck drivers had been killed that night. It had just happened. It had just taken place, and I had missed it by maybe 10 minutes at the most, and that would have been me meeting the other truck coming the other direction. See, that's the plan. Christian, look at me. The timing of God's plan. We think, oh, yeah, it means the big picture of things. Yes, but every detail inside the big picture. And when the fullness of the time was come, Christ was born of a virgin, came into the world to be a redeemer, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, rose from the dead. It's all the plan of God, and it's all timed out according to His will and His way, His working. That's so for your life this morning. Friend, look at me. You're messing around with this plan of God for your life because you do things your way instead of God's way. You're messing around with the plan. You're pulling out parts that God never intended to be pulled out. You're putting in things God never intended to be put there. In the fullness of the time, God's timing, dear people, His working, His plan. This will God has for you. Now look at me. Submitting to the Word of God and living by the Word of God in your life puts you right in the middle of God's plan. And my, how He has things planned. Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God's plan. The timing of the plan of God. Lastly is this. There's God's timing concerning His purpose. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There's a timing to the purpose of God. What God purposes and determines and works out, He puts it on a time frame. Well, you know what, Pastor Johnson, one of these days I'm gonna get around to doing that thing about the will of God. But see, right now I got too many things going on in my life. Yeah, I know it's Christmas season. It's like the world stops at Christmas season. All we do now is shop and eat Christmas cookies. Now, I don't know about the shopping part, but the Christmas cookie thing is definitely in on the program. There's no question about that. But the truth is, we think, you know, it's like the world stops. Well, when in the new year or when the weather gets better. Then when the weather gets better, I'm too busy because the weather's good. Right now I got to do this. It's like our purpose continues to interfere with the timing of God's purpose and what He intends and determines. What you and I must realize, my dear friend, is there's a timing to this purpose. See, what you don't want to do is live your entire life, die, face God, and realize His entire purpose passed you by. Because you're too busy fulfilling your purpose. So look at me. Or the world's purpose for your life. Well, we know when fishing season starts and what's biting when and where. We got the soccer schedule all laid out for our kids. We got all this stuff planned out. All the purposes laid out in our life. We got our financial purpose laid out. And we've got our plans for the future. And our purpose for our life is all set and ready to go. We just need God to come along behind us and sign the bottom line of the contract of His purpose. Our purpose for our life. God's not in the business of signing anything unless it's according to His purpose for your life. God has a purpose, my friend. See, but Pastor Johnson, things happened this year. My soul, we had a deacon's meeting the other night getting the things ready for the budget and that sort of thing. We added 6 widows to the deacon's list this year. 6 widows. 6. Shasta Baptist Church is blessed to have godly, biblical deacons who take care of the widows of this church. We added 6 widows this year. 6. You know something, dear people? You think, but Pastor Johnson, could there be purpose in death? Could there be a purpose in suffering, loss? Could there be a purpose in losing a job or a business? Is there a purpose in all this stuff? I mean, it just happened because of bad economy and bad banking principles and gas prices that were too high. Nobody's complaining about gas being $1.50 something now. It's amazing, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't it amazing how we think that there's just no purpose to what goes on? We just kind of go along on this planet. Things just happen. No, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose now. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God's purpose applies to all of us and each of us at the same time. I can't see it. You know what? You don't have to. That's the blessing of being in the will of God, letting the working of God take place in my life, is His purpose will be accomplished. But in His time. Remember when you were 14, 15 years old? That was a long time ago. Remember when you were 14, 15 years old? And you thought, boy, if I could just be 18. Man, alive, I mean, the big ship is going to come in. I will be 18 years old. And then the big 21 comes along. Whoa, I'm old enough to go in a liquor store and buy a bottle of booze and be a fool with the rest of the world. I said a fool with the rest of the world. See, preacher, every Sunday you hit the booze thing. That's right, and I'm making it this Sunday. A fool. Like somehow or another that makes you a man or a grown-up because you can drink liquor. Proves you're an idiot. Nidiot. N-I-O-I. You know how to spell it. Nidiot. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not wise in the Hebrew is nidiot. Oh, when I turn 21, my favorite one, I'll be on my own. You're never going to be on your own. Your boss is going to be on. Somebody's going to be in your life. You're never going to be on your own. Unless you go live in a cave somewhere. Isn't that interesting how we just think, you know, we put these things out in front of us like this is life. No, the truth of the matter is, does your life have a purpose? Is there a reason why you get out of bed in the morning besides just paying the bills and staying away from the trouble? Is that really what your purpose is? People out there staggering around in life saying, well, I don't know what my purpose in life is. That's not God's fault. He has a purpose for you. And He has a way to make all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But the purpose part and the how things work together part, that's not us. That's God. My job is just to love Him and live in His purpose. You get in the will of God, let the working of God take place. Guess what happens? You have a purpose in life. We were in the store yesterday, which is stupid. Buying food, that's good. Seriously, now ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how it works for you. I'm standing in the grocery store yesterday afternoon with my wife, and I didn't know what day of the week it was. I was standing there, I go, what day of the week is this? Is this Monday? Tuesday? I got one of those calendar things on my watch. I looked at it and I go, it's Saturday. I said, preacher, are you getting old-timers disease? Yeah, I'm getting old-timers disease, something awful. Good thing is about you get to meet new people every day. And you can wrap your own Christmas presents. Because you're just going to forget anyhow. But the truth is, I couldn't figure out what day of the week it was. I could not. And then I got, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, it's Saturday. Okay, it's Saturday. I got it. Well, sometimes you get so busy, things just run together. Life gets crowded, things come upon you. And you think, what's the purpose of all this anyhow? No, there is a purpose. There's a timing to the purpose of God. Now, Christian, your job, my job, is to love Him and live in His will. He'll take care of how it all works together for good and fulfills His purpose for your life. Don't mess up and do it your way. Be smart and do it His way and let His purpose be fulfilled in you. You'll never know a life more better than the life God has given you and designed for you. Last statement is this, but it's on a timetable. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. Mess up, do it your way, you'll mess up the purpose God has for you. You'll miss what you're put on this earth to do. I'm sorry, there's nothing worse than that. But to live in His purpose and to know we're here doing what God put us here to do, whew, then you know what it does? Listen, it gives reason to death, loss, suffering, battles, struggles, economic hard times, all of it. Because this is all part of the purpose, God's purpose for my life. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. God gave us a time frame at Christmas time to remind us God's timing is what's best. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Trust His plan, friend. Trust His plan and wait on the timing of His purpose and respond to the working of God in your life. Well, I'll leave today and I'll think on that one, Pastor Johnson. No. See, there'll come a time where God will say, that's enough thinking. You've had enough time to think about it. Time to do something about it. Can I ask you a question this morning, dear friend? Are you saved and are you certain? Do you have a salvation and eternal life and do you know that for sure? Or would you have to say today, I'm not sure? Today you can settle that in your life. Let's bow our heads together, shall we?